Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forever Fathers. A while ago, I set out on a mission to collect stories and advice to share with my children from the father figures in my lives, from the men I respect. So I hope you learned something. I hope you can sit back, relax, and, don't relax. Sit back and take notes. Listen up. And if nothing else, you'll get a new reason to wake up in the morning. I'm your host, Alec Frank. Today, I am joined by Terry Miller. Hey, Terry.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Really good today. Beautiful day, sun is shining.
Oh yeah. Man, I'll take it.
Yep.
Week and a half ago it was snowing. And now you're getting cars out.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice. We're sitting in Terry's shop today. I don't know how much we're allowed to tell, but it's a pretty sweet shop. Pretty awesome cars in here.
Yeah, I'm a chaplain with Racers for Christ, and what we do is go out to different racetracks and we bring the gospel to the racetrack, but we also bring a couple cars that we get to play with that are Christian-based themed cars. So love doing that, and love to be able to share the word.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is Racers for Christ something you started, or is that something that exists throughout the country?
This is something that exists throughout the country. There's about 430 chaplains across the country that serve at different tracks. They don't just do racetracks, they do rock crawlers and they do drag boats. There's a lot of different things that this group is involved in. It's really Christian Motorsports Association is
okay.
what the name of it is. But they go as Racers for Christ and Rodders for Christ and Rock Crawlers for Christ and whatever else you could throw on there. So
awesome.
You know, we go to car shows and things like that around here too. So
okay. Cool. That's a pretty big organization then.
Yeah.
So how'd you get involved with them?
I got a good buddy that goes to Cornerstone Church where we go, Dustin Steinbrink. He actually left now and is going to another church. But at a pivotal time in my life, I met Dustin and got involved in this because I'm involved in the sport and realize that I'm doing everything for myself instead of doing it for a higher order. And there's more important things than just fulfilling your own needs. It's fulfilling the needs of all the others that are out there. So gave me the opportunity to really strengthen my faith, number one, be able to utilize some of the talents that God's given me to be able to talk incessantly, and also meet a lot of people and pour into their lives. So it's been a good thing.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, and on the side of Terry's car I'm looking at right now, it says, knowing where I'm going on the right track, got a racetrack with a cross at the end with a, yeah, this is pretty cool. It says Cornerstone Church on it. Yeah, these are awesome cars, so this is a cool place to do an interview. We should get this set up so we can just do all the interviews.
Out here.
We can just rent part of your garage space from you.
That'd be all right.
Yeah. Terry, how old are you? I better get through the intro, I suppose. How old are you?
I am 56 years old.
56 years young.
Yes. Yeah.
And what do you do? Chaplain for...
I'm a chaplain with Racers for Christ, but my normal day job is I'm an engineer with Hormel Foods, and the group that I manage purchases all equipment that Hormel uses to make their products.
Okay.
Across all the plants, so I get involved with everything from pigs walking in a door to making Skippy peanut butter is kind of the way I say it.
Awesome.
Anything and everything.
Cool. So how'd you get there? How did you end up where you are today, kind of?
I actually started as a technician there and just learned how things work. Worked outside of my job description, I guess is what I would say. You know, so many people say you got to just do what you're told to do and work within your job description. And I think I worked outside of that, and people saw that and realized, wow, this person has more abilities than this job. So they gave me more and more responsibility. You know, I'm going to liken that to the Bible where it talks about the talents in there and that God gave talents to different people, but the big thing is how you use those talents. God will reward you in the future and at this time also with how you use those talents that were provided. So I thank him for giving me those things and allowing me to utilize them.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that parable. Well, let's go into the concrete buster round. I'm going to ask you some questions, though. It's a little bit more than just icebreaker.
We going to do this whole card deck?
Yeah, there's only about 40.
Okay, there was a coach that I remember right when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he did a card deck, and you had to do push-ups for all the cards.
No kidding.
This will be...
We will be in shape at the end of today.
I don't think that that's... There's no numbers on there, so I think we're safe.
Yeah. Oh, I see. For each card you do, that's how many push-ups you had to do?
Yeah,
oh,
geez. The whole deck cards.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, I guess. No, we'd have to answer so fast. I can't read fast enough to get through these. But we usually do a few of them, like 5 to 10 minutes, 15, 20, whatever. We'll see how it goes. What honorary family members influenced you growing up?
Well, I guess, you know... My grandfather and my dad's side had one heck of a work ethic, and I think that's one thing that I brought forward. He was a stonemason back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and you think about that job, there were no elevators for bringing things up, and he worked with his hands. His hands were just monstrous, and I can't ever forget that.
Cool.
And my dad also had a good work ethic, too. Both my mom and my dad were a super influence. You know, they brought us up in the church and really gave us the background that we needed to make the right decisions going forward. Not saying I made those right decisions all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, most of the time I didn't make those right decisions, but you know what? It made me who I am today, and I learned a lot from them, and I thank them for what they did.
How do you think they did that? Or what kind of things do you remember now as an adult, or do you realize now as an adult that they incorporated that in you?
Really, they just... had it as a basis for what we did.
Okay.
We went to church on Sundays. We had choir practice. My mom played the organ at church since she's 12 years old.
Wow.
And she still plays the organ in the same church.
No kidding.
And we were involved in Bible studies. We were involved in youth groups. We were involved in all that stuff. So they just kept us involved, you know.
Cool.
You keep your plate filled, and there's no room for all the other stuff to come in. Although other stuff does come in.
Yeah.
But it really still gave us the background behind what we should be doing and what our priorities should be.
Cool. Yeah, it gave you some place to go back to all the time, that kind
yep.
of thing. Cool. How did family, I didn't even ask you, do you have any siblings?
I got one sister.
Okay.
Tammy, she's 2 years older, and I don't get along real well with my sister.
Okay.
We don't have a close relationship. Maybe that's a better thing. It isn't like we argue or anything like that. It's just not a close relationship.
Okay. How do you think birth order influenced you, her being older than you? Did that influence you at all growing up or anything like that, you think?
No.
Okay.
Not in the least.
Okay, cool.
Because once I got big enough, I could whoop on her. So.
Yeah, exactly.
maybe got to cut that out. No.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But it's you know, it's part of you.
Yeah. So. It probably influences you and you don't even know it. I mean, how would you? You wouldn't know any other way, I don't think. Right. Oh, this is a good one, but you can pass on any of these, just so you know. But what do you worry about?
Lately, it's been work.
Yeah.
I don't really worry about a whole lot, you know. God says, do not be anxious, but bring to him in prayers and supplication all cares that you've got, and the peace that passes understanding will... set your hearts and minds free in Christ Jesus. And when you come down to that, I don't don't really worry about a lot of stuff. The main thing lately has just been work has been really trying. And, you know, at 57 years old, maybe it's not worry, but it's deep concern about when do you just say at some point, I've had enough of work, and now it's time to go full-time with God's bidding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Because, you know, you hear so much of that, how you're supposed to use your talents and the needs that are out there and everything like that. And it's really twisting on us right now as far as what we're going to do here moving forward.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I feel like that now. I can't imagine you, as how where you are in life. It's probably pretty cool to think about too, though, isn't it? That, I mean, sooner than later, you're going to be, or whatever, but you're going to be able to just do full-time.
Yep, full-time whatever. You know, it'd be really cool to do full-time ministry or help out the homeless.
Yeah.
It'd be really good to be able to do that.
Cool. Yeah, let's go on to the, we'll go on to the next one. I'll ask you more about that later, maybe. We'll see if we get back to it. If you could invite any famous person to join your family for dinner, who would you choose?
There'd be two of them. And it's probably a lot different than the other people that answer this question, because I'm thinking this famous person doesn't have to be alive anymore. And I'd say
number one
would be Jesus. Number two would be the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, cool.
Paul wrote so much in the Bible, and the wisdom that the Spirit gave him is so deep that I'd love to be able to sit and talk with him for hours.
I'd love to be able to sit there and watch you two talk. I feel like you'd have better questions than I would. But
well,
I think those are good choices.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of people pick their celebrities and stuff like that, but, you know, again, back to your priorities. What should really your priority be, and what should we really be learning about? And that, to me, is the two that walk the earth that have the most understanding of everything and anything that will pertain to my short life here on this earth and what my future life will be in eternity.
Yeah, I agree. I think Paul would be just awesome to sit down with, just like you said. And it's not just he has so much to say about everything. If you go back to like health for your body, like Paul even talks about that. I mean, he talks about a lot of stuff. So, this is a fun one. See if you can remember. What was your love object when you were a child, like teddy bear or blankie? Do you remember anything like that?
No, I really don't.
No? Mom never?
No, I just can't think back to that time. And no, I'm not saying it just because I don't want to fess up to anything.
Yeah.
I don't recall anything like that.
Okay. I'm realizing some kids don't.
Maybe a tricycle or something like that. You know, I've always been kind of mechanically inclined and stuff like that, and it's probably something of that sort that I might have messed around with and made work a little bit better, or made a Binford out of it, as Tim the Tool Man would say.
Cool. Very cool. What was your favorite movie growing up?
You know, we didn't watch a ton of movies. You know, I'd have to say when my kids were born that we watched The Land Before Time like 8,000 times. And that's actually a really good story movie. You know, Mom and Dad just didn't watch that many movies, so I guess we didn't. If my mom and dad watched a movie, it was Gone with the Wind or The Sound of Music or something like that, and I can't say that Gone with the Wind or The Sound of Music would be my favorite movies in that time, you know.
Yeah.
And again, also, you know, I'm an old duff. They didn't have movies out all the time. I mean, you caught it on CBS, NBC, or ABC.
And that they didn't have Netflix.
There was no Netflix, and actually VHS wasn't really out then either. So.
Jeez. What was Land Before Time? What was that one?
It's a cartoon movie.
Is that the dinosaurs?
About the dinosaurs.
Oh, okay. Yep. That was a good one. Yeah, I remember that one.
It's actually a good storyline.
Okay.
It, so
I'd have to watch that. I'll have to get my kids to watch that because I don't remember the storyline behind it. But yeah, that'd be a fun one to watch. I think we got a couple more here. We got a few minutes. What physical characteristics do you have from your family?
Height. Big hands. Of course, my mom is diminutive. She's small, but my dad's side, they're all larger guys.
Cool.
And, you know, it's nice being tall, and it's also kind of sometimes a rotten thing being tall because you bang your head on certain things, but at least I don't turn around in a crowd and look at somebody's belly button or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that it's nice. And Teresa's always like, she's got to reach something. And she's like, hey, tall man, tall man, I need tall man.
Oh, that's awesome. I will take banging my head over looking at belly buttons every day of the week. All right, I've got time for one more. Best sports memory shared with your dad or Halloween costumes you remember?
Halloween costumes. Oh, that's two questions.
You get to pick one.
Okay.
You pick which one you want to answer. Sports or Halloween costumes?
Well, sports ones I remember. Caledonia, the high school that we went to, we always went to their Friday night football games all the time. And I'd go up there with all my cousins and, you know, mom and dad and the elders would stand up in the stands and cheer the place on. And, of course, the kids didn't quite do that. We'd get a football, and we'd go tear around and play football and catch and stuff like that in the back. And I just remember that as a kid, being able to spend time with the family and relatives and that. And you don't see that as much anymore. You see it with other ethnicity groups, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Hispanics, and, you know, I kind of look at how they do things family-wise, and they really have it down. They keep the family unit together, and we don't do that anymore. You know, you don't go out on Sundays to relatives' houses that often. And remember, my mom and dad used to play cards, and they'd make all sorts of popcorn. We'd sit and have popcorn fights, and they'd play cards, and the lucky dogs would run around and clean up all the popcorn.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So your family was close together down there in Caledonia then?
Yep.
A lot of your family was down there?
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
We go to church, and Teresa says, tell me who here you're not related to.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's everybody. Nobody? You're related to everybody?
There's a lot of people we aren't yet, but there's still a lot that we are related to down there. So,
cool.
You know, once you get some big families, my mom was a family of five. My dad was a family of eight. So, and then all the relatives outside of that had big families, too. So there's a lot of kinfolk down that there area.
Cool. Yeah, that's something I always like to hear, and I feel like I hear it more asking guys of your generation that you would hang out with your cousins and stuff like that. And that's something I have a little bit of recollection of, but I know that we don't do it very much anymore, like you're saying. And it's important. Well, let's move on to the meat and potatoes portion.
Meat and taters, like that.
Yeah, so think back to the events or people that changed your life. What story do you want your kids or grandkids or my kids to know? And what'd you learn from them? How'd it change you?
Well, I got positive influences and negative influences that actually made it positive, to be honest with you. One of the big things is my mom with the church. And we had a pastor that came in that was an evangelist. And he had a radio show that he actually did the sermons on. They did it. It was called The Message of Hope. And he was a really good evangelist and spoke the gospel. got the kids involved, had the kids youth group. We traveled all over. We made money and we bought a bus. Yeah, it wasn't a brand new bus by any way, shape, or form, but it was a bus that the kids could go around from place to place. And, you know, if we wanted to go to camp, we'd take the bus. And but the pastor put together a group of singers that we had, and there was probably 25 of us somewhere around there. And we'd travel from church to church, and we'd sing, and then he would do some evangelism and do some altar calls, and we brought a lot of people to the Lord during that.
No kidding.
Really cool thing. I sit here and I think about the stories with it, but, you know, we've got to be so careful in our lives, because here was a man, this pastor that we had, that he was good. He had the Spirit of God with him, and he knew how to say the right things at the right time to be able to really talk to people like our pastor Dave does.
Yeah.
You could be sitting with 150 people in a sanctuary, and he's talking to you directly, even though he's not talking to you, and that's the way this man was.
Yeah.
He let greed, and he let some things get in the way of what his real true meaning was, and we actually parted ways with that man at one point, and he was still friends and everything like that, but they had a hard decision and booted him out of the church because he was grabbing money from places that he shouldn't, and wasn't a good situation. And I learned a lot from that, just because you could be the most perfect person on the outside in life, and the inside of you is tainted. And if God doesn't look at the outside, God looks at your heart.
Yeah.
And that kind of made an impact on me. You know, just here's a man that I looked up to and respected, but yet he was still doing things that were hidden from most people, not hidden from God, because God says that he sees everything. But it caught up with him, and it made me think about things. So that's one of the stories, you know, and that's a really positive thing going through that life or that group, and just yeah. Everything as a kid with how active we were in church and life. But then just seeing the change that happened in that made you think about it. And I was right at the right age to actually start understanding what was going on. I think if I was a couple years younger, all that would have happened and I wouldn't have even known anything about it, and I would have never put two and two together. So that's one of them that really made us who we are. Another thing is, you know, once I got out on my own, I stepped away from God for years. He was still there, but did I actively pursue him or have a relationship with him? No, we didn't go to church. Why did we do that? Because it's all about us, and I'm a strong man, and I could do it myself, and I don't need this. And then certain things happen in your life where you realize that that's not the way that things have to be, and it brings you back, and it makes you stronger is really what it does. And that's what we have to do. And you mentioned something about, you know, studying past things so you don't make the same mistakes again.
Yeah.
And so often in our society, we don't study what we had for mistakes, because mistakes make you weak.
Yeah.
Mistakes don't make you weak. Mistakes make you stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, I read it last night in Romans 5, just talks about, you know, those things that persecution brings perseverance, and the steps that it brings all the way up through, all the way to the glory of God. And you need to have those whoopses in life. If everything was perfect, I think we'd be living in bubble wrap or something like that. Seriously, yeah. It's...
Yeah, and then you wouldn't need... You wouldn't have any room for improvement. It'd probably be kind of boring, too. Do you find yourself... So, do you do a lot of reflection, then, on stuff like that?
No, just...
Just realizing
it happened? Just realize it happened. Another thing that I did when I was young, our pastor, the pastor I was talking about, his kid was about a year older than me, and the pastor had a carnival stand that we made corn dogs and cream puffs and stuff like that, and at 14 years old, I was traveling around working carnivals already. Well, I tell you, that makes you street smart really fast, because you run into some really wonderful people, and you run into some absolute predators out there that that would do anything to disrupt your life. And I never really had it happen, because I caught on to what was going on, and even at 14, I had my ways of averting those situations.
Yeah.
But...
Were you big at 14, too, though?
Well, not...
No.
Not compared to somebody that's traveling around 30-year-old work in carnivals or something like that. No, I wasn't like that, but I wasn't small. I was pretty wiry at that point, but they would have whooped up on me in those days.
Yeah. How do you avert that? How do you know to stay?
Well, there was sexual predators out there that would love to do things with a 14-year-old boy.
Jeez.
I remember that, and I'd bring it up right in the middle of a crowd. You know, if somebody said something or did something, I would make it a point to let everybody around me know that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And people turn and look, and then the person would disappear. And that's about the only way that I knew how to handle it at that time. So,
yeah. Do you handle things like that now? Not obviously, you probably don't have sexual predators coming after you, but,
I have a hard time with the movement that's going on in the world, not only because of that, but just because of the biblical principles it talks about. You know, in the beginning, God created man and woman, and the woman shall leave her parents or her father and cling to her husband. I mean, it's clear. And that isn't the only place in the Bible where it talks about that. So, you know, I love everyone. I'm not saying that I go around hating this or hating that, but I'm not also going to agree with the lifestyle that's there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, let's go to, do you got any more meat and potatoes you want to put on there? Any more gravy?
Gravy?
Yeah.
You didn't say anything about gravy.
Yeah, you can put gravy on the story. You can always add the gravy on top.
Well, you know, the other thing that really probably influenced me a lot in life is just the priorities and reflection from the Spirit of what we should really be doing in life. So often you could get completely turned upside down with what you think you have to do, and you have to run here, and you have to run there, and sometimes there's a low time in your life that gives you the opportunity to really reflect and think, what am I really doing here? Why am I doing all this? Should I be doing all this? And what should my priorities really be? And that's one thing that if you reflect on anything in your life, stop and take time to do that.
Yeah.
Because it will teach you so many things. And don't reflect only in your own head, but pray. And ask the Spirit for guidance. Because I've been smacked alongside the head more than once. Not just by my wife, but I'm just kidding. Teresa, scratch that. No, I love my wife. We were talking last night, and I said, you know, you compliment me, and that isn't like, hey, you look good today or anything like that, but she compliments me. I do certain things well. She does everything well. And when it really, when you really get locked up sometimes trying to say some words or do certain things, especially in the chaplain side. I'm an engineer. I fix things.
Yeah.
I can't fix everything.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you get too emotional or somebody got in a wreck and the wife is just ballistic. I can't fix that. And, you know, I'd love to just go out there and say, hey, it happened. Deal with it.
Yeah.
This is what
yeah.
we're going to do. Let's go.
Yeah, because that's what the engineer would say.
That's what the engineer yeah. says. Well, Teresa comes in at that point, and she compliments me by cool. being able to either talk with them directly or guiding me to where I should really be going. And hopefully, you know, I said she does everything well. Hopefully I'm the opposite for her or the same yeah. for her, where I compliment her with what her shortcomings are. And that's really what a marriage, that the two will become one. And that's the way I look at that. And I think that's a really important thing to understand in your marriage, that you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be everything, but that other partner should be the other side of it that could get you through those things you need to get through.
Yeah, that's some good gravy there. I'm glad we put gravy on that one. Well, let's go to the outro. That's the worst name ever of all these sections. The outro, I just couldn't think of anything better at the time. So, we're going to get favorite quote, favorite book, favorite food. So, you start off with whichever one you want to give me.
Favorite quote. Well, I know the one that I say the most, but it's not my favorite quote. Situation normal at hormel.
Oh, yeah.
Or what is the other one that I always say a lot? The only thing that stays the same is we change stuff all the time.
Yeah. Cool.
But, you know, one of the things that I say a lot, and it's, I think, actually Pastor Dave's, might even be his life verse too, because he says it a lot, and it's John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. And there's so many people that think following Jesus is going to hamper their lifestyle. But he said just the opposite. Come follow me and you will have life full and abundant. And that does mean a lot to me and a lot of people out there. So, of course, I have it on my race car, actually. On both race cars. And it's above the door coming in and out of the building. One of my buddies had it on the back of his his dirt track car. But, of course, it says at the end, live yeah. life full throttle.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and that's what I think Jesus told us to do, is come to me. And life isn't going to be perfect by any way, shape, or form. I mean, there's going to be things that cause you heartache and stuff like that. But in the long run, the peace that you have through Christ, it settles you down and it mellows you right out, and it makes you focus on the things that you should be focusing on. And we've been blessed all our lives. We're in this country, the United States. You know, so many people complain about everything that's going on around here. But dang it, open your eyes. We are so blessed to have what we have, and not only physical things, but our wealth and everything. What do they say? That we're within the top 3%
yeah.
of the world's wealth. And that wasn't just because of chance. That was because God blessed this country and God blessed how this country was set up. And we've just been walking away from it. But that's a whole other subject that we could go into it a different time. Yeah. I'm not going to talk politics.
We don't have. We'll leave it.
Yep.
But it is cool. I just this morning on my way over here, I listen to country music sometimes. Every once in a while, I flip the station to country, and Blake Shelton was singing a song called "God's Country," and it was right after I heard a news report talking about those Christians in China getting going to jail. And I turn the channel, and they're singing a song about God's country, and it made me appreciate exactly what you just said. I'm listening to a song called God's Country on country radio in the United States, and they never play this over there. You wouldn't be allowed to sing a song like that. So that is that's really something we got to take into appreciation.
So what else you got on there?
Favorite book.
Favorite book. I'd have to say Bible.
Cool.
You know, Teresa reads all the time. I don't read a whole lot. I mean, I read technical manuals and stuff. Like, only I read a technical manual if I'm stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I could figure this out and then get to a point and go, I got to look at this.
Yeah, cool.
But no, I've never really read a whole lot of books. Some of them that I have, and it still goes back to the Bible, but David Jeremiah's got a number of really good books, and you know, as many books as he puts out, I think he's probably got an army of people writing books for him, and he just kind of looks over them and gives a thumbs up on it. But the people that he has and the topics that he also teaches are really relevant, and they're almost like Christianity for dummies, because some of these guys get out there and they go and they talk all their big words and goes just zinging right over the top of my head. But Jeremiah really teaches and he brings it down to life for so many people. And I think that's why he's as successful as he is.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite food?
Ribeye steak.
Awesome.
Got to.
All right.
And not the stuff that is the soy base. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said something about my wife is on a it's the plant engineer down at Fontanini when I was down there. My wife is on a protein kick with no protein. And he says he's getting all these soy hamburgers and soy steaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He says, come Sunday, he says, I'm going to throw a ham in. That's all there is to it. There's nothing awesome going on that one. So
very cool. Yeah. Well, this is how we end every one of these. And I think this is the reason we do it. So if you had to share one reason why you get up in the morning with everybody, or a reason that you thought they should get up in the morning, what would that one reason be?
You know, the kids aren't around anymore. We got three kids with four legs, if you know what I mean. They take my time and, you know, they look up to you, and it's really, this question goes a couple different ways. If I'm getting up during the week, one of the things that I love to do is go to be able to go to work and mentor people and bring them up to the understanding that I have on many different things. I ran into a lot of people in life that thought that holding knowledge in is something that gave them an advantage. And I got to the point where I realized that holding knowledge in just makes you be the person that gets called at 2 o'clock in the morning when crap's not working and something has to be fixed because you wouldn't tell anybody else how to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm just the opposite. I love to be able to mentor and grow the talent of people that I work with and try to make them the best they could be. And again, you know, I said something about working outside of what your job description is, and that's what I press a lot of people to do, is you cannot grow if you just keep doing the same things that you normally do. You really have to get out of your comfort zone. And it's sometimes hard to push people out of that comfort zone, but that's what really makes them grow. And then they start asking questions, and they really get brought up to where they need to be. So that's one of the things. on the weekend, what gets me up? It's called the honey-do list. But most of the time, it's terry-do list, and then I got a couple things on there from honey-do on top of it, but
yeah,
it's mostly terry-do list, so that's what I got for today is terry-do list, so.
Cool. Getting ready for the racetrack.
Yep, we're out in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, so I got to load up a couple cars and get one that I haven't had running yet started. I just threw push rods back in it, and hopefully that thing's ready to fire up when we're done here. But I got to probably wait till about 10 o'clock for some reason because it's really loud.
Can't imagine why. Yeah, so, like everybody in the neighborhood.
Yep, I could imagine what kind of phone calls we'd get on that one. So,
well, that's polite of you.
Well, you still got to play with everybody else around, you know. That's just the way it goes. So.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you doing the interview. I look up to you, and man, there's a lot of stuff people can take from.
Yep, thanks for doing this, Alec. I really do appreciate it. And I'm going to have to get this link to this podcast so I can listen to some of the other ones that are out there. So.
Oh, yeah. It's cool to have guys like you to go to learn from. So I think that's why we did it. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.